CliffCentral.com.
Yeah. Say it, baby. Good morning, everybody.
Billions.
Billions? What? What did you say?
Billions.
Oh, there we go.
It's Thursday. Are you ready for today?
Oh, absolutely.
You are, Ben?
Yeah.
Okay, let me introduce the cast and crew this morning on our little cartoon. First up, we have Sia Sangweni.
Yes, that is correct.
Yes, good morning, Sia. Good morning, Amanda. Amanda Romberg.
Good morning.
Good morning. From the East Runt, Ben K.
Hello. Hi.
The Bounce. Yeah. And there's no Mabali Maloy this morning. She's got some kind of work meeting. You know what I love about Mabali is she's got a work meeting at 8 with this other place that she works. She's producing a TV show. When we want a meeting with her, we have to tell her like 6 weeks in advance. Have you noticed that?
And she still won't come.
Yeah.
Because she didn't read the email.
So I reckon, this is my fault. Like a pigeon. I understand. It's my fault.
No, you've enabled this, Gareth.
I have enabled it because when I don't hold people to any kind of, I don't say to anyone, oh, if you can't come to the meeting, I'm going to have you fired or this is essential or it's in your contract. I mean, I've never done that. I would never do that.
Be there or else.
Right. Other employers. I read a horror story yesterday about this employer. Mm-hmm. Some woman who works for this company, she said she needs to drive her sick husband to the hospital. There's no one else who can do it. They said to her, if you take the day off, because we know now that's what you want to do, we will fire you.
What?
Yeah. And apparently, legally, they're entitled to take disciplinary action if they've said to her, you cannot take the day off. She's got to take her husband. She's the only one who can. Now, if Sia came to me and he said, I've got to take my mom to the hospital, there's no question. I would say, Sia, of course, you must take your mother to the hospital. Right?
Unless he's lying, yeah.
There are these employers out there who are, they are unscrupulous. They will squeeze every drop of blood out of you. In the workplace, they will make you do your hours. I mean, Sia, you sometimes have to go early.
Mm-hmm.
Never have I said to you, what? You're leaving at 2? How dare you? Have I? Mm-mm. Ever. So these it's my fault. I got to be more like Hitler. That's how you get shit done.
Yeah, I agree, Gareth.
I am much too nice. I can never arrange a meeting because, this one's leaving early for the airport and this one has to leave halfway through the show and this one has to go to the bathroom and this one isn't wearing the right outfit for the meeting. Oh, okay.
No, that's rubbish.
I'm a complete pussy and a pushover and it's going to come back and bite me. That's why everybody's so happy to work here because they just know that, just roll over, stupid Gareth. No. He's not going to know. He doesn't care.
Well,
I'm an idiot. I set up the game wrong, and I can't change now because then I'm going to be an evil demon, right? So I've made a rod for my own back again.
There's a no. That's a bit too drastic.
Look at this. Okay, so I booked a haircut last week with the guy I go for a haircut with all the time, right?
Yes.
So there's this new place they've got a hairdresser. It's right up the road. It would be so convenient. So I hand this I make my diary now public. It's pretty much public. Everywhere I go is now everybody knows my fucking movements. Everyone on earth is aware of at 10, 15 and 20 seconds Gareth's going to be having a haircut. Mm-hmm. At 10 45 he's going to be finished the haircut. He will be in his car on the way here. Everybody knows my movements now. I've made my diary public. You know it, Sia. Rena knows it. Everyone knows it. So Rena sees this in my diary. She's going, you've got a haircut at 1. Well, let me book for you at the place down the road. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I say, yeah, yeah, that would be nice. Then I'll cancel the other appointment that I had. Let me try this place out down the road. I'll go for a haircut. So I need a haircut. That's why I booked it for today.
Okay.
All organized. Then I get in. I wake up this morning. I'm anxious from the minute I wake up because I see that Sia has scheduled an interview with Ben Haynow, the guy who won, what is it called?
Britain's X Factor.
X has got talent.
No.
X Idol has talent. All right.
X Idol has a voice
so
of talent.
Ben Haynow is going to be on Skype. He's going to be sitting in London, ready to talk to Douchebag here. And
no.
Douchebag here is going to be rushing from this godforsaken hair appointment. Now, you know what I like about the hair appointment?
Mm-hmm.
Is they'll do the head massage. That I don't give a shit about the haircut. The end result is almost inconsequential to me. I need the haircut, so it's something you have to do. It's like cutting your nails. It's not a, you know, it's not. Some people live for the haircut itself. I don't care about that. I had the same hairstyle since I was, 10. Anyway, I'm going to go for the haircut, but there's going to be no time for the massage. There's going to be no time for any fun. It's going to be a rush in, rush out. You've got to get to Ben Haynow. And this is because I've given my diary and control of my life to everyone else. I got Rena and I got Sia. I got all these people who decide where I'm the pawn in my own chess game. Do you understand?
Hold on.
Don't squirm and be uncomfortable. I'm explaining it from my point of view.
Okay.
Right, I'm not judging you, and I'm not judging her, and I'm not judging anyone else.
Okay.
I'm explaining how this feels to me. It gives me massive anxiety.
Will we get a chance?
I live on my own.
Yes.
I make my own decision. If I want to masturbate furiously, I do that. If I want to read a book, I'll read a book. If I want to sit at the computer and answer emails, you know, you get emails from me at 1 in the morning.
Yes.
I run my own ship.
Right.
Now, and I've redone this office of mine here because I want a sanctuary where I can be in my own space.
It's nice. I see you added some plants.
I've added some plants. It's just going to be heaven because I can close that door and ignore all of you. And I'll get so much done.
Sheepers.
Now, hold on. Nice. No, don't. No.
That's why.
Again, don't take it personally. I'm not.
No, Gareth, I want to take it personally.
Hold on, Ben. I haven't given you any room to take anything personally here. You know, I'm perfectly happy to sit in the main office with everybody doing work, and then we'll have a conversation. It'll be loads of fun. And I like this place. I like the vibe, right? Which is also why I would not be a draconian Hitler. Just not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go into that office, and I'm going to feel relaxed enough to be able to come up with creative stuff for the first time in this building. Because I can't do that when I don't have – I'm different to a lot of people. I need a little bit – of my own comfort. I need a little bit of my own offset from the rest. You know, my whole purpose in being is to not belong. This is very philosophical
Ooh.
Stuff.
No, but I think that's everyone's purpose if they were smart enough.
It's really not. No, it's really not. But most people are so driven to belong.
Because they're not smart enough.
Well, I don't know if it's smart. I think it's a much harder choice to make. Most people want to belong. That's how you survive. That's what our ancestors, every person up to me, you didn't have a choice. You had to belong or you wouldn't make it, right?
Yeah.
So I'm rebelling against nature here. And let me carry out. I'll keep this short because it may be boring to people. But I want to not belong. The minute I'm in a club, the minute I'm in a society, the minute I belong to a certain group of people, big or small,
mm-hmm.
I want out. Do you understand?
Okay.
I don't like to be a part of anything. It in my fundamental core, I rebel against belonging. I want to be on an island after a nuclear winter on my own. Do you understand? It sounds messed up, and of course I like company every now and then, but on my terms. So there's this weird side. I must go and see a shrink because this is something that needs some help.
Guys, you're seeing a shrink right now. This is therapy for you.
So, yeah.
It is, and that's what the old sales manager used to say to me. Neil, he used to say to me, you get 3 hours in the day to meditate, and you've got this audience of brilliant people, and they really are. Since mm-hmm. we come to Cliff Central and we started this, these are brilliant people. We don't have dumb listeners. All of my dumb listeners I left in FM radio. I left baskets and buckets and boxes of them all over the countryside. There are dumb Neanderthals roaming the earth, sometimes even on all fours, that used to listen to my show on 5FM that could never, they would never be able to migrate to what we're doing now. And he said to me, this is your therapy. So maybe you've got a point.
Okay.
But here I am today. I am so anxious. I've got such massive anxiety over this haircut, Ben Hay now. I've got a meeting at 10 o'clock out of the building, which I have to do with one of the big ad agencies, which I'm very focused on. It's important from a business point of view that this goes well.
Mm-hmm.
We got a pre-record at 8:30 or whatever this morning. We're playing the big Jacques Poe interview today. So I built this little office. Thank God I had the office yesterday because there was nowhere else to record the Jacques Poe interview. There was the most noisy, stupid fucking television show recording downstairs yesterday that we could not use any of our other studios. And I've got the author of the decade. The guy who's written the biggest, best-selling book in South African publishing history for the last 5 years. This guy's coming in to talk to me. Little old me. And what am I going to do? I'm going to sit with drumming going on in the background because there's this crew of, I don't know who they are, downstairs making a racket.
There's this never-ending TV show that's clogging our car park as well.
But can you see my... Can you see? Yeah. Like, I just want to do what... I want to give the audience what they deserve. I want to do great podcasts. I want to put together amazing interviews. I want to have a fun show. I want to organize my life so that I can have a minimum of belonging in that life and a maximum of enjoyment. And part of that is a haircut.
I'm confused.
Part of that is a haircut where I get a massage. I don't talk to someone. You understand?
No, I'm confused. Mm-hmm. Now you want a minimum of belonging?
Yes.
2 seconds ago you were saying you don't want belonging.
I don't want belonging. I want a minimum of
belonging. Oh, okay. Alrighty.
If you want a maximum of something, you want it all.
So you see that, like, I know that there are people with real problems in the world. They're listening to this now thinking, what is wrong with this psych patient? Why? What's he complaining about? I'm so stressed out about this haircut Ben Haynau situation. It is completely... I can't... Today's going to be a mess for me.
Question.
All right.
With my hands up.
Yeah.
So where to from here then?
I've got to leave everyone alone. I've got to get on a ship. I've got to go away.
I have
to go away.
Let's think constructively.
All right.
Because you know how I work. This is really becoming like a whole therapy.
Go on.
Efficiency.
Go ahead.
Company politics thing. You know, when I put something in your calendar.
Yes.
Even if it's not confirmed yet.
You say TBC, which means to be confirmed.
Exactly.
Which means I should keep that area clear.
Yes. Okay. So the Ben Haynau thing was there ages before, since last week.
I made the hair appointment a month ago. The difficulty was I opened up the calendar to you and Tarina and to everyone else about a week and a half ago. So suddenly you guys know everything.
So, what would you like me to do?
Neither of you give a shit. I give you my calendar. Well, you don't care.
No. I'm just trying to book interviews for the 8 o'clock slot. That's just my objective here.
So, can I just butt in and say, if you're feeling anxious, how do you think Sia is feeling? Sia gets anxious when the door opens.
No.
And now you're lumping this on him as well.
Okay.
I'm a big baby. Obviously, I need mothering or fathering. I don't know what it is.
I think the beauty of owning your own company is to be able to dictate and decide how you want to live your life. If you decide right now that you're driving, you're getting into your car, you're going back home, and you're going to sleep and shut the world off, you can do that.
No.
But there will be repercussions because, unfortunately as well, the other side of owning your own company is the responsibility that comes with that. So you tell me now what you want me to do. Do you want me to cancel the interview?
No,
and
No.
But there'll be repercussions, which means on one particular day we won't have an interview. And we'll have to scramble.
Amanda seems to know what the answer is. Amanda, what do you think we should do here? You're looking at me like you know and we're both being morons.
No, Gareth, I agree with Sia. Like, I think you should just do what you have to do and then you can do what you want to do afterwards.
No.
What's on your list of priorities?
Because
what's the number one?
Here's the point, right? Mm-hmm. So then I finish Ben Haynau. It'll be, 2:30 by the time we finish with him? Then I got to rush home in the traffic. Mm-hmm. Got half an hour to get home to an appointment with a plumber that I set for 3 o'clock because I thought I'd have enough time and didn't realize Ben Haynau would start at 1:30. Do you understand?
I feel like you need an all pair.
This guy, I need 1,000 people making decisions for me so that I don't know what's going on. Then I've got to come back here tomorrow night, or tonight rather. See, I don't even know what day it is. I've got to come back here for this thing with Branson, this whole this Virgin thing that we're doing, which starts at 7.
You're going to be in a great mood tomorrow morning, aren't you?
Can you tell?
Okay, Gareth, but this can all be resolved.
So it's not like I've got endless amounts of time either to have the fucking haircut.
Well, grow a top knot so we can just keep it out of the picture.
How long does the haircut take, though? You just don't want to be rushed during the haircut.
I don't know. I've never been to this hairdresser before. And that's another thing.
Okay, I'm the...
Now I'm stressed that this person's going to give me some kind of...
Pink hair.
Well, no, they're going to cut my hair like you know those kids when they have the bowl. They put the bowl in the head and they just chop around it.
Gareth, here's a solution. Go to the barber that I go to. You never have to book. He runs a good tight shop there. Nice guy. Serves you good coffee. And he won't fuck up your hair,
let's
I promise.
Work,
you go whenever you have a moment.
Let's work smart instead of working hard. If this is tough for you, I'll cancel the interview. And then, every Monday...
Hey now, see, you can't just do that.
No, every Monday, we'll look at your calendar. You'll
approve
or decline. And plan it in advance. But I thought we had an efficient system. Evidently, you feel overwhelmed.
You don't think it's efficient enough. It's killing me. You're killing me, Sia.
You should have voiced this not on the day I have booked an international guest.
Sia, you're so pushy.
For the
second
time.
Do you know about this, or does it just show up in the calendar?
No.
Do you just see it or you know?
Sia says TBC, and I can almost swear on... Again, I don't remember everything.
Yes.
I could swear yesterday I said to you, I'm going ahead with something else that I've got on at that time.
Yesterday I said, could you give me 2 hours to confirm with the people?
Here's another
thing.
And
then I did.
So, I'm not doing a holiday in December, right? I'm not going anywhere.
Okay.
I'm going to go skiing in February, right?
Mm-hmm.
The 1 week I want to do this holiday, and it's important because there's a friend of mine and something big is happening and blah, blah, blah. The 1 week I want to do this is the same week that I have to do 3 events across the country for a big brand.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying a lot of money for this. They made the entry into my calendar a month or two ago. And I now, again, out of all the weeks, there's nothing the whole of January, there's nothing the whole of March, and there's nothing else in February. It's just these 3 days. Guess where they fall? Right in the middle of where the holiday's got to happen.
But
now, again, I have to make a call. I'm either going to pay double for a holiday because I'm going to lose out on the money that I would have made, and I'm going to have to pay full price for this holiday,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I can take the holiday... Sorry, or I can cancel the holiday, not have a holiday, and make a ton of money.
And just go skiing in January.
Yeah.
I can't. That's the problem.
But you just said you got nothing in January.
There is nothing. There's nothing available in January.
But you can dictate your own life.
I can't.
I'm telling you,
I can't do it.
Take ownership of your life now. Here's an early Sid by Sia. Oh, okay?
Go on. Help me.
No, I disagree. There is availability for another holiday, Gareth. It can't be that bad.
But life will not be all rosy. Everything will not fall into place. There are certain responsibilities and actions.
Here are what people are saying. You moron. Cancel your haircut. What's wrong with you? Change. Here's another one. Lynn says, change your hair appointment time. He will accommodate you. You're the celebrity. Then someone else says, move your hair appointment, you stupid asshole.
Oh,
they've actually spelt it out.
My last thing on this matter, fair enough, I would like to say ever so humbly so. I hope I'm not being blamed here.
No, you're not.
I work very efficiently.
No, you really are.
No.
Shut
up, Ben. Ben is such a... He's just trying to cause trouble here.
Everything
Maybe
is always
one of those
laid
hairdressers
out.
That actually come to you.
No, I could never do...
So you sit...
That's like those people who walk around with bodyguards. No.
But once again, you get to dictate and construct your own life. Why not?
And then you can sit and do the interview, maybe, and get your haircut. Or sit in your beautiful office that you've just sorted out and get your haircut.
Technically, Amanda has a point, because this interview is on Skype, so he can't even see.
Exactly. You do not need to move. So you don't have to be like, oh, I need to go here. Just think of the cool things, you know?
I've never been to this hairdresser before because now we're trying out something new because someone saw something in my diary and they think I want to try
maybe
something
Maybe he's
new.
A travel hairdresser. Have you even asked him that?
I think it's a she.
Oh.
I don't even know. You see,
She'll travel.
Yes, but I don't know anything. What if this is the world's grumpiest hairdresser? What if this person the first time they meet me is because I'm being a diva and I want... No, I'm not going to do that.
I think the biggest problem is that your hairdresser's changed.
I refuse to be a problem for other people here. That's why, again, I'll deal with it.
Then you'll be a problem to yourself the rest of your life.
No, I know what to do. And everybody who sent in these messages is spot on. I'm going to move the stupid hair appointment.
Yay.
And then I'll sit in traffic for half an hour. Hopefully I'll make it to my 3 o'clock. And then I'll rush back in the evening. I'll get my hair cut when I got time on Sunday.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Like grab a hold of yourself.
Go to my barber. It's pretty quiet there.
Fuck.
And sorry, anytime you got a moment. Anytime
I
you got a moment.
Anymore. I can't.
He's a good guy.
You'll yay or nay your calendar
this
every
is why
single
I don't leave,
Monday.
You see why I don't want to leave home?
Then don't. Then you won't earn any money.
Yeah.
You won't get to do your show.
Yeah.
You won't see any of us. And fine, you'll read a book every day.
Stop whining, says somebody. You
Thank
can't
you.
Cancel the Ben Haynau interview. The guy's a big deal.
Fuck. I'm so fucking done.
Wow, see, you look 47 today.
Just ruin my moisturizing regime.
You need to go bath and moisturize it out of makeup.
There it is. You'll check on your diary, which is my diary. You'll see now that it's gone. The hairdressing appointment's gone.
You don't have
It's gone.
Like, you don't have to cancel it, though.
It's gone. I can do it tomorrow.
Ooh, but if Ben Haynau cancels, woo.
I'm not canceling Ben Haynau.
If
Ben,
he does.
Oh, you mean if, like the last time we wanted to speak to him and he didn't pitch on the line and I'd blocked off an hour of my day for him? Okay.
So, guys, on the 24th, I'm going to be in Sun City.
Now we're talking diary.
I'll phone in, though, because I'll be at Sun City for the Gary Play Invitational.
Oh, you're going?
Yeah.
All right.
I'll get some interviews and that kind of stuff.
All right.
See you 24th.
We've got to get to the things you need to know this morning, which is brought to you by Colcacchio's Pizzeria. Let's get into that, please. Let's move along. First of all, a military coup can't be ruled out, says the ex-Home Affairs Minister of Zimbabwe. They're saying that there could be a military coup to unseat the Mugabes. How's that?
That'd be nice.
You think?
But who would lead it? See, that's the whole thing with these uprisings.
Well, Ben, the clue is in military.
Yeah, I know, Gareth, but the military under Bob's command, is it not?
No. If it's a coup, they're not going to follow Bob's command.
I just don't think
it's going to be the generals.
Yeah, great. If the generals are in, that's what I'm getting at.
Second thing you need to know, the State Security Agency has sent yet another cease and desist letter to get the president's keepers withdrawn from bookshelves, but this time the letter was sent to the title editor, Russell Martin. Author and veteran journalist Jacques Poe announced during an official launch of his book last night, by the way, where the power went off.
Suspicious.
Hyde Park.
Yeah. Now, when have you ever heard of the power going off in Hyde Park?
And
this is suspicious.
Shopping complex like that would have backup generators and
very suspicious. He would face being taken to court if he did not withdraw the book. I don't understand why anyone would want to withdraw the book when it's already out there and people have read it. What's the point?
And it also just means shows how guilty you are.
Yeah, and the horse is bolted, dudes. You're so stupid. If the State Security Agency had any idea of what was going on, they would have known to have stopped the book before. They would have known. They clearly have no intelligence at all. that's the third thing you need to know. That sneeze.
Oh. You have the abilities to sneeze.
Christopher Plummer is replacing Kevin Spacey in a movie called All the Money in the World. He will no longer, Kevin Spacey, appear in a film set to release next month, following several sexual assault allegations against him. That's the third thing you need to know. And masculinist power fantasies unleashed have catastrophic results, according to the Guardian newspaper. Sometimes it's good to throw in some opinion that isn't yours. Looking back in past attacks, we can no longer deny the correlation between violence and woman-hating, says Van Badham, which is obviously not someone's real name, in The Guardian. The detail about Weinstein that sticks most in the mind is the one provided by Annabella Sciorra, who accuses the film producer of rape. When he was done, he ejaculated on my leg and on my nightgown, she said. The nightgown was a family heirloom handed down from relatives in Italy and embroidered in white cotton. And, according to her, Weinstein added a quip to her humiliation. He said, "I have impeccable timing." Weinstein denies all of these allegations. What a creep.
Hmm.
The only real reason I read you that take is because of her story about what he said to her. It's revolting, right?
Ugh.
And one other thing. aluminium foil can actually improve your wireless signal.
Hmm.
If you've ever thought of resorting to aluminium foil to redirect your home's poor Wi-Fi signal, turns out that you're not that far off the mark. Researchers at Dartmouth College have discovered that 3D-printed signal reflectors consisting of a thin layer of metal and plastic can drastically and cheaply improve the quality of your home Wi-Fi. How do you like them apples?
Hmm. Huh? Nice.
Yeah. These experiments based on the idea that an aluminium soda can behind a router in order to direct the signal away from deadening walls and other obstructions really works. The team were able to analyze a space and create a custom reflector that would optimize the Wi-Fi signal in that room. So if you can't afford to get one of those things that bounces the signal around, you might just want to take a can and cut it open and face the shiny side, or even just a piece of tin foil, face the shiny side away from the wall behind the router so that you can get more signal out of it. How's that? You like it?
Yeah.
That's some useful stuff, right? Don't say we don't help you with some useful stuff every now and then. How many things have I gone through? Is that 4 or 5?
Including the sneeze, I think that's 6, Gareth.
I think it's 6. Very good. All righty. Well, it's time for us to move into Ben's sport for this morning. Let's see what's going on over there. Ben, over to you. And people are really taking me to pieces about this this situation of mine. This anxiety. Gareth, I agree with Ben. Grow a top knot, you loser.
Yeah.
Send Sia or Amanda to meet the plumber, Gareth. Go to the doctor and ask for Urbanol. Nothing will stress you out. And Gareth needs to read Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink. Ownership is about sacrifices, G. It's just a haircut, says someone else. Someone says, suck it up, sunshine. You're getting shit done and living a full life. I can relate. I'm a control freak too, but it's better than nothing going on. Stop moaning, you fat mess, says someone.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was me.
Funny how Gareth only gets to have a sissy fit when Mabali's not there. She does keep him in check. Well, we know that's true.
Actually, Mabali doesn't indulge anyone or anything.
She's been the whole time rolling her eyes. She's just so discontent with it all.
Yeah. Is it just me, or is the new iOS 11 using more battery?
It's meant to actually help battery life, from what I heard.
Oh, here's something interesting.
See, that's why I'm not going to update.
WhatsApp we just got. In 1998, Lesotho's military attempted a coup. We were deployed there and lost some good men. If this happens in Zim, our messed up government will also try to interfere because they love Grace and Bob. We will again lose good men for political bullshit. Well, just refuse. I mean, I'm telling you, our state has broken down so irretrievably at this point that if you were in the military and you just said, I'm out, I don't want to, what are they going to do? They can only dismiss you. It's like a labor relations thing. There used to be a time they could shoot you for that. Mm. Our government wouldn't know how to do that. I don't think there's any kind of leadership in the military that would be able to enforce that. So you just say, no, I'm not going to fight for Zimbabwe's government. And, you know, that goes back to what we were talking about yesterday with tax. Just say no. Someone says, Julian, 30 minutes about your stupid haircut.
I'll keep quiet.
Let's get to Ben, huh?
I'll keep quiet.
So Twitter is giving people 280 characters nowadays. You know what that means for the time the Bok team gets announced every single time?
Oh, no.
What a disaster. What an absolute disaster.
More time for people to complain,
just
right?
Just bitch, complain and moan. So I had a bit of experiment yesterday on Twitter. I put out the team which I believe the Bok should pick for the test against Ireland on Saturday. And I used all these stupid 280 characters. And then the essays and the vile comments that came back. Oh, this guy, this, and that. It's like, oh, this feed is just a mess now. So, good luck today, because Alistair Katsir is going to name his Bok team today, and no doubt he will be saying things that people don't like. There'll be positions or players in positions that people don't care about, and your life, your rugby life on social media is now going to be ruined because Twitter has upped the ante with how much crap people can write. So, well done, Twitter. Hope you're proud of yourself. Take that, dickheads. 280 characters, well, you can make at least 4 or 5 stupid points there, whereas in the past, you can make maybe 1 at 2 at best, which is nothing more than something that you can dismiss. Look, when it comes to the Bok selection for this weekend, there's a couple of poses at place. The back line, well, there's nothing settled. Well, you think Jan Serfontein's not there. He's not on tour. He's settling into his French team, which, if you take 280 characters, people have a big issue with as well. So who's going to be fly-half? Well, Pollard might have the inside track here. And if that is going to be the case, well, is Ross Crenier safe at scrum half? Interesting point. Then in the centres, Damien Dealey is kind of the only number 12 that is in the squad. But according to 280 character Twitter, this guy shouldn't even touch a rugby ball, let alone play park rugby. So, what's the option? Well, Lukanya should come into the team, but then where's Jesse Creel going to go? Is Jesse Creel going to play wing? If that happens, then does Courtney Oscar-Sun drop down? And then, where does Warwick Hallant come into the mix? There are so many
it's
different
like
questions.
It's like trying to find an appointment for a haircut and doing a Ben Haynau interview.
Hey, Gareth, times 280. Yes, times 280. That's what Alistair Garcia has got right now. Alistair Garcia won't cut his hair for 3 years because of all these selection poses he is now forced to have.
Wow. Oh, when it comes I feel to his pay.
When it comes to the forward pack, I think we're going to see a very similar pack to the one that played against the All Blacks. Francois Lowe, therefore, probably at number 8 because, well, Isaiah Kassim, I don't think he's of this level, and I think it's been pretty clear. Whether or not we'll see Peter Setsutoi on the side of the scrum, well, that's going to... I think he will be. I think he showed enough in that last match against the All Blacks. He's much improved in that position, and even though he was dog shit when he played there in the last overseas tour to the Northern Hemisphere, I think he's learned a whole bunch, and I think the coaching staff know a bit more about how they're going to structure him in that position. So, today on The Bounce Show, here on Cliff Central 10 a.m, I talk about this more with Zelim Nel from All Out Rugby, just to give you an understanding about why the bigger players are more kind of beneficial to a team in this sort of setup. When it comes to front row, the Beast will no doubt come back. He is the most experienced forward we have, and that means that Stephen Kitsoff goes to the bench. But if you look at that bench, just think, you got Kitsoff. I reckon Quinny Ostadian should be on the bench as well. Wilco Lowe to start, he's been amazing, especially he's been great form in the Curry Cup. But then you can have a guy like Franco Mostert also on the bench. You can start with Lewis Diogo and Ibn Smith in the locks. Firepower aplenty. And that's exactly what Ireland is bracing themselves for. Win or lose, they say they are going to get battered by the box. It should be a good game. And that will be 7:30 on Saturday night. So a huge, huge day of rugby on Saturday. There's Scotland versus Samoa at 4:30, England versus Argentina at 5, Wales versus Argentina at 7:15, the Bock game at 7:30, like I said, and then France hosting New Zealand at 9:45. So if you like rugby, well, your wife's going to hate you this weekend. Your girlfriend, whoever demands your time in life, is going to go, oh, this bloody rugby. To which you'll just crack another beer and go, deal with it. Drop remote. So in football this weekend as well, huge World Cup qualifiers. Now I'll get into the fixtures tomorrow because it's Friday, but Italy, well, they're not guaranteed a place in the World Cup 2018, which is next year. They are the only past champion, basically, who isn't assured of a spot. Very, very worrying for them, because they've actually been pretty solid in the last sort of while, when you think about the European Cup, the European Championships as well. So they're in doubt to get through. Of course, all the deciders in Africa as well, very tightly contested. Friday, most notably, Bafana versus Senegal. Now, Itumeleng Nkune has said that he will try wear a face mask. No, and he's not trying to exfoliate. Wearing a protective face mask, so because of this injury he sustained, he doesn't want that to sideline it because this game means so much. So basically, if Bafana don't win, like I suggested, if they don't win this weekend, that's it, they're gone.
They're gone.
Not because if they draw and then someone else loses, it simply is a win-at-all-cost kind of thing. This is the game that got to replay because that ref was so dodgy the first time out these two teams played, in which South Africa won. So it is just so, so crucial. But more about that tomorrow, because we need to talk wheels.
Oh yeah.
So we all know Formula One, start of the season, so much anticipation around this. Was this the year it was to be more competitive? Ferrari said yes, it bloody well be. And then they started well and they fizzled out, and with two races to go, Ferrari, well, they've lost to everybody. Lewis Hamilton's got the individual driver's champion. The Constructors' Championship, also Mercedes. So two races to go, and it's just same old F1. But the same does not apply in the MotoGP. MotoGP, far more exciting. But unfortunately, the press throw a lot more Formula 1 down our throats than MotoGP. But here, I'm going to tell you what's going on. This weekend, on Sunday, the Grand Prix of Valencia. It is the final race of the season. And a bloody exciting race is going to be, because Marc Marquez, he's currently on top of the standings on 282 points. Then we've got Andrea Davioso. Yeah, Andre Davioso on 261, and then Maverick Vinales on 226. So these three guys are top of the pops here. Valentino Rossi's in fourth, but just too far away to maybe capitalize on this. So when you look at the podium standings in MotoGP, you get 25 points in first place, 20 points for second and 16 for third. So if one of these big guys crashes out, anyone in that top three can be the champion come Sunday. So unlike Formula One, where it's like, well, that guy's going to win, so let's change the channel, MotoGP is as exciting as all hell. And you always think those guys could possibly die if they fall off their bikes. Which I'm not saying they should or must, but it's exciting nonetheless. In the Nedbank Golf Challenge hosted by Gary Player at the Gary Player Country Club, Tyrrell Hatton is the bookie's favorite. He is, well, he's a prolific English golfer, and he's been pretty handy this year. He's done well in a variety of conditions, so he will top the pops in the betting ranks there. Brandon Grace is the second favorite, followed by Louis Oosthuizen. So there's 9 South Africans in the mix this week, basically all the good ones. Dylan Fratelli is probably the hottest one form-wise. He finished second last week at the Turkish Airlines Open. But we've also got Francesco Molinari, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Ross Fisher, and then Tommy Fleetwood that rounds off the top of the betting odds. If Tommy Fleetwood wins this week, he wins the Race to Dubai title, the big everything. Now, all the other big names like Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia and John Rahm, they'll be back next week in Dubai. So if Fleetwood misses the cut, it's all on for next week of who's going to win this big giant title. But he can decide it all this week. Very exciting. But judging by how pasty his skin is, I don't think he's going to do well in the real heat of Sun City. Now, you have a look about some people. I don't know if Tommy's going to do that great. Alexander Norit is the defending champion, but he's had a relatively quiet season compared to last season. In the tennis, it is the ATP Finals Series. So this is what happens. It's like the big end-off for the tennis players. The top 10 players come together and have a massive showdown. So the top 8 players in the world and have a massive showdown in the O2 Arena, which is in England. So Pete Sampras' group, they'll be Rafael Nadal, Dominic Thiem, Grigor Dimitrov, and David Goffin. The Boris Becker group, they'll be Roger Federer, Alexander Zverev, Marian Cilic, and Jack Sock.
Jack Sock, that's the greatest name.
Yeah, so there's no, obviously, Andy Murray injured, no Novak Djokovic also injured. And good on Nadal to come through because he is kind of injured. He's nursing a bit of a problem with his knee. And many are suggesting that he will not be at his best this week and may even pull out. Yeah, maybe. And Federer as well. He kind of, you know, he's been managing his career a lot in the last 2 years. And he's pulled out of a couple of events just so he can make this season finale. So that's it. All the big names, all there. One event is going to be bloody exciting. That's it for your sport today. More about the weekend sport coming up tomorrow.
Fantastic. All right, let's go to Sid by Sia. This is our daily dose of inspiration, positivity, and all the stuff that you don't get to hear in the news that maybe will make you feel a little bit better.
Yes. Well, here's a little something that you can do and implement in your life that will actually have major, major changes. So no man's an island, they say, but if you fancy yourself as one of those strong, silent types who is way more comfortable in the company of yourself rather than socializing with others, well, a new study might make you change your whole solitary tune. So did you know that your lack of social interaction now, according to some research, could prove just as bad for your health down the road as a life spent smoking cigarettes?
I heard this, that you will die if you don't have powerful, meaningful social interaction.
Mm-hmm. You think it's such a
younger,
minor thing?
Because we're social creatures, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, so this goes in the face of my not wanting to belong argument.
Just putting it out there.
I know.
Use it, don't use it. I just say what I say every morning at this time. So the research conducted by academics from Brigham Young University.
Brigham Young University?
Yes.
So by Kevin Spacey?
No.
Brigham.
Brigham Young is the, it's a Mormon university.
Sounds like.
Is it in Salt Lake City?
Sorry.
I know what he's saying.
I just got that now. The words slipped out of my mouth. Yeah, Brigham Young.
By the way, there's so many great Kevin Spacey memes going around at the moment. Sure, people are just savage.
Okay, I'm going to sound British.
Brigham Young was a...
Brigham Young University.
He's the founder of the Mormon Church, actually.
Oh, okay. And they've conducted this research, and the result is from this analysis of 148 previously published studies on the subject of how often people interact with others and their subsequent health condition later in life. So the conclusion is that being alone is a cause of serious alarm. So according to the research, low social interaction has the equivalent lifespan impact as smoking 15 cigarettes daily. Mm-hmm. Jeez. Or being a raging alcoholic. So cutting yourself off from others is worse even than inactivity, quite honestly, and twice as bad as obesity. So socializing predominantly with Facebook friends, as we often do in this day and age, as opposed to the more living and breathing variety, you know, just that good old kind, doesn't hold a healthy future. Instead, stronger relationships with family and friends creates a sort of positive feedback effect, leading to individuals taking better care of themselves as they age. So this is actually quite sobering advice.
Well, there we go.
Yeah. A lack of...
And they say social media, that's not real.
No. You need real people around you just for that impact, that give and take relationship. The study continues to say a lack of social relationships is a risk factor for death. Is still not widely recognized by health organizations and the public. People with stronger social relationships had a 50% increased likelihood of survival than those with weaker social relationships. I'll write that down. So it's nice to actually think that enduring relationships with people are in fact important to our general well-being, as what's, you know, what's right in front of our screens all the time becomes increasingly more important and alluring than what's actually happening in front of our faces. Studies like this, I like that they point to the conclusion, at least to an extent, that having a social life could, well, save your life. A doctor goes on to comment on the study saying, when someone is connected to a group and feels responsible for other people, that sense of purpose and meaning translates to taking better care of themselves and taking fewer risks. So to me, this makes sense. More so, it also just says you don't need to be the life of the party. We aren't saying go out and party every single night and host dinner parties.
Sure.
But just grab a cup of coffee with a friend, or just take a walk with, you know, a family member, an old aunt who needs the exercise, or whatever the case is. So this morning, said by Sears, throw away the notion that the lone wolf is always the strongest, and rather just stay connected. It's as simple as that.
Well, there we go. Spot on, Sear. Thank you for that excellent advice. Let me remind everybody, if you want more inspiration, today is the day. It marks exactly a year since Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump and went into a drunken rage and refused to give a concession speech.
Oh.
Do you remember? It's exactly a year to the day. No. That crooked Hillary refused to get on stage and address all her own supporters and say, yes, I concede, which is what every other candidate in every other presidential election has always done.
Does that mean she's going to release another book today? I still can't believe it happened.
Yeah. That's on the agenda for today with Hillary. I still really, truly can't actually, for real, believe, like, it actually, literally happened by Hillary. Crooked Hillary Rodham Clinton.
So you wonder if, like, Bill's got a really dark sense of humor, wakes up in the morning and goes, good morning, Mrs. President.
Oh, wow.
And then
she would beat him to death.
Oh, you horrible sack of shit. Then he just beats him.
Yeah. Oh, she would. I don't think they even talk to each other.
I don't think they share the same beds.
No, really? Not even the same house.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, I'm sure. Please, she can't stand him. And would you blame her the way he's philandered around? And also, he doesn't like her. He knows that she's only staying with him so she can have another go at the presidency.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would actually think that
cold as ice, dude.
They're the more real political couples, aren't they? Like, you look at some people, you go, you have not touched each other since you held hands back in 1992. But you genuinely think they don't get along?
No, I don't think so.
When in public have they ever looked like there could be something there physical? I'm not saying that's what we do in life, is we stare at them in public, but...
In my head, on a Saturday morning... Bill, who's
brings
now all vegan and whatnot, spends the morning in the kitchen. Hillary sitting at the breakfast table.
I'm gonna make Hillary a really nice omelette.
Yes, yes. Yeah. With a string of help, though, like six.
I don't know what an egg looks like. Can someone help me with an egg?
I reckon Hillary wakes up a Saturday morning to find Bill, for some reason, interviewing housemaids. And she goes, oh, Bill, again, seriously, we've got three already.
I just want someone to run the scullery, Hillary.
That is not the picture I really have in my head. Hillary sitting at the table with tons of paper around her doing some work. Then they, like, conference call Chelsea and they ask her what she's doing. Oh, well, guys.
Yeah,
I think my head is better. I'll just stick to what
I don't think so much. yeah. Bill Clinton, I don't know that Bill Clinton is really that happy. He doesn't look it. He looks terrible. Bill looks awful.
Do you think the Bushes are genuine with each other? George Bush and his wife?
Oh, yeah. They genuinely like each other. You can tell.
Okay,
like, they're very, but they're also kind of boring people. Because Laura and he, you know, Laura kind of saved him from the bottle. You know what? You know what I mean?
Took the fun out of his life.
Yeah, she saved him from the bottle. He was, he says he was an alcoholic and a monster before. So he says that Laura helped him, and you could see she's a really boring, like Stepford wife type, and he's like, I'm gonna have a drink with the boys, and she's like, okay, but don't be too late.
I think the thrill of his life is really going out on their farm and shooting things.
He likes to clear the. He does what they call, I can't remember, hedging or something. He go around and he clears the brush around the ranch. That's what he does for fun. Gets on his. He has a bucky. He has a bucky, and he like cuts down wood, and that's what he does for fun.
I could think of nothing worse.
See, I can think of nothing worse than you doing that.
I don't understand the concepts of people who work hard, they get a lot of money, and they have to do
work
activities of people
Stupid.
Who have no money. Nuh-uh.
Don't forget, Justice Malala will join us in a short while for the Burning Platform. That's right. It's your chance to catch up on all the events of the week, and there's never been a boring week, and this week is no exception. That's brought to you by Nando's, and it's coming up next. But before we get to that, Donald Trump made an interesting point when a reporter for NBC asked him about gun control in South Korea. You know, he's in South Korea. He's traveling at the moment. Here's what he had to say. You tell me if this went the way the reporter expected it to.
Wanting to put extreme vetting on people trying to come into the United States. But I wonder if you would consider extreme vetting for people trying to buy a gun.
Trying to what?
Buy a gun.
Well, you know, you're bringing up a situation that probably shouldn't be discussed too much right now. We could let a little time go by, but it's okay if you feel that that's an appropriate question, even though we're the heart of South Korea. I will certainly answer your question. If you did what you're suggesting, there would have been no difference 3 days ago. And you might not have had that very brave person who happened to have a gun or a rifle in his truck go out and shoot him and hit him and neutralize him. And I can only say this. If he didn't have a gun, instead of having 26 dead, he would have had hundreds more dead. So that's the way I feel about it.
And are you
not going to help?
And are you considering any kind of gun control policy going forward?
And you look at the city with the strongest gun laws in our nation is Chicago. Mm-hmm. And Chicago is a disaster. It's a total disaster. Just remember, if this man didn't have a gun or a rifle, you'd be talking about a much worse situation in the great state of Texas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, there we go. Saying that, you know, the guy who managed to stop this killer in Texas, the guy who managed to end the carnage, because it could have been many more people who were killed, he only managed to do it because he had a gun himself. And Trump pointing out, and gun control people who want to take away everyone's guns, they love the idea that you can, all the bad people's guns will be taken away too. But in reality, it's probably only the good people who'll give up their guns, right?
Exactly.
And then they don't like it when people like Trump, especially because they hate Trump already, but they don't like it when he points out Chicago, which is one of the most strict. The state of Illinois has got some of the strictest gun laws of any place. You can't buy a gun. You know, it's more like here in terms of you can't just walk into a store and buy a gun. You need a license. You need tests and you need competencies and all kinds of things. And I've got a gun license, so I could tell you it's a huge rigmarole to get your gun.
Mm-hmm.
Massive, massive amount of tests and huge numbers of checks and balances in the system. You have to appeal and appeal and appeal because they always reject you the first and the second and the third time. Anyway, the point is, Chicago has all of this in place. Regulation. People who love getting the government involved in everything. And Chicago has more gun crime than any other place in America.
Hmm.
And in Texas, where everyone is allowed to carry, and you're allowed to carry publicly, this horrible massacre happened. We can't avoid that. That happens. America is full of guns, and it's a gun-crazed country. Nothing we can do about that. It's in their founding documents. It's part of who they are as Americans. They've been frightened from day one that the government would come and take their guns away, and that hasn't changed. People who grew up in cities often don't worry about this as much as people who grew up in the country, because in the country, your only line of defense is the gun. You don't have police that are nearby. So you need your gun. You don't know what's going to happen. Who's going to come and invade? Who's going to come and try and steal your stuff? Who's going to have nefarious intentions? So I understand that for people who live out in the country. In the city, you can call the police. They'll be there in a couple of minutes. In this country, you can call the police. They might not be there in a couple of minutes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wouldn't you rather have a gun and not need one than need a gun and not have one?
Yeah, that's a good question.
So here he is saying to this reporter, because you know where she's going. She's like, ah, your government's been irresponsible and let everybody buy guns. And he's saying if that guy didn't have a gun, it would have been much worse. Even if you disagree or you agree with that, you've got to give him at least the point. Makes sense. Someone says that they thoroughly enjoyed Carrie Adams yesterday talking about booze. Amanda, I thought you would have enjoyed that, right? Why do I not have... You were talking to me earlier and I could hear you, now I can't. Is there a switch you've changed on your side? Come in here. Don't know why your mic isn't working.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was working just a second ago. Nothing's changed on my side. How are you, Amanda? Sorry, I don't know what happened to your mic.
And was buzzing, okay.
No.
We'll have to make a note very of that. Odd.
I did listen.
Yeah, what did you think? What did you learn about booze?
That there's like a lot of complicated boozes, so like I'd rather just stick to the easy stuff.
What's your easy stuff?
Gosh. Just take like tequila shots and just vodka, maybe.
She gave me such a thorough and resounding no when I said to her, I drink tequila. She said, that's revolting. And I was, you know, she thinks I'm uncivilized.
No, tequila is divine.
Yeah. It's the way it makes you feel, not the way it tastes. Right?
Speaking of tequila, I'm actually, my family's having a little bit like of a party.
Oh, yeah?
Because my grandparents have been married for 60 years today.
Wow.
Oh, your grandmother has been married to a dick for how many years?
No, his name is...
They've been together for 65 years, but married for 60 years, so...
happy anniversary.
She met Dick when she was 14, I think.
Wow. Happy anniversary. For a cheerful toast
until... No, it's good. That's lovely. I think that's beautiful.
You don't spill it. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
What's your grandmother's name?
Maureen, but we call her OB.
Maureen and Dick. Oh, you call her Old Bag.
Yeah, OB.
Old Bag and Dick. Happy anniversary, you two.
Probably.
So you going to celebrate with them, Amanda?
Yeah, we are. We're going to dinner tonight, and then on Saturday we're having a party.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Thank you very much. All right, when we come back, we'll have the burning platform. Is Justice on his way? Heard from him? Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
You know what we could do to admit to you? Pass the time. We can just go on the internet and find out some more sexual harassment stories from Hollywood. Okay. I'm sure there's some new ones to get into.
There'll be new ones. Here's an interesting message from Sue Ann. She says, hey, Gareth and team, I emigrated to Canada from South Africa 3 weeks ago. I live in Toronto and just came back from watching an ice hockey game with my boyfriend. I just wanted to say thank you for making me feel less homesick and for all the laughs. I listen to your podcasts in the train downtown Toronto. I have to hold in my giggles, Sue Ann. Well, I hope you enjoyed Toronto, Sue Ann. That sounds exciting. Nice adventure for you. And, it sounds like a fun way to get to know Canada is going to ice hockey games. That's a very Canadian thing to do, right?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, he's coming up next. The man of the moment, Justice Malala. And the burning platform, which is next. But first, Justice's favorite artist, which is Cardi B.
Oh, hey now.
Kodak Yellow.
He's Teddy Pendergrass.
What?
I thought it was going to be Teddy Pendergrass.
No.
Friend of the lights.
Listen. here's Cardi B for you. Listen to this, Justice. It'll blow your mind. It's fantastic.
Okay.
Say, little bitch, you can fuck with me if you want.
CliffCentral.com